Welcome to Lesson 1 of Heal Your Witch Wound. I have wanted to record this course for so long. In fact, since I first discovered that we have a witch wound, or that I myself had a witch wound, and really started to understand the history of witches and the history of women. One of the most powerful quotes that I have heard recently is, "You didn't actually burn witches, you burned women." And there's a difference. But before we get too deep into how we're going to heal this, we first have to know why you have this. So that's going to take us back to a period in time called the Burning Times, a time in history that's been coined after what happened to tens of thousands of individuals throughout Europe who were executed for the crime of witchcraft. Some people say that the numbers that were executed are around 50,000. Through estimates now that we're hearing in 2024, they're saying actually it was probably closer to 100,000 deaths. Countless more that we probably don't even know about. People that were accused, tortured, exiled by their communities. People that you probably have no record of, no way of knowing. 80% of the people that this happened to were women. Many of these women were over the age of 40, and burning at the stake was indeed the most common method of execution for these women. The witch hunts often had to do with drownings, hangings, and beheadings, but witch hunters wildly were burning women and burning these people because of what it was that they were accusing them of doing. I know it's difficult to hear and it's difficult to think about, and some of these stories are really gut-wrenching when you know them and you understand what we were doing to people in history. But the truth is that this all started because really it has a lot to do with capitalism, has a lot to do with women having power and women being feared, and people that were healers that had knowledge being feared for what they know. Let me go back. Back before there was a time of kings and queens and castles and that time period, there was a time period where you had villages and communities of people that lived together. And in those villages and communities, everybody had to have a role, hunter-gatherers, if you will. Men would hunt often together. They would bring home and provide for their families. Women would gather and they would heal. And those women that were gathering, they were gathering fruits and vegetables and berries, and they were out there foraging throughout the earth, discovering what herbs meant and which ones were good for one thing and which ones were good for another thing. There was a ton of research that were done from women and by women to be healers and nurturers of their family. Let's face it, that's what women were actually born innately to do. We bring human beings into the world and we want to keep them alive. Men help contribute, obviously, to bringing human beings into the world, because without them we couldn't, but their job is to also keep them alive through keeping them safe and through feeding them. Now, that may sound very Neanderthal to you, but back in the beginning of time, that's how things were. Men were bigger, stronger. Their human physique and bodies were able to do that. Women were carrying children, which was to be much more protected, and our human bodies were capable of doing what we did, which was to nurture and care for. So at this point in time, we have to remember nobody owns the land. There's no landowners. There's no such thing as this is mine and that's yours. People are setting up campments and villages, and sometimes they'll stay there and sometimes they won't. Some people move, some people stay in their homes and their huts and their villages and commune with their family. Now we move into a period of time where capitalism comes along, and we move into a time where there are kings, there are queens, there is a period of time where churches get involved. And we are leaving sort of this period of time where we're communing together as groups of people, and instead we're moving into a period of time now where we have hierarchy that's starting to come into place. And the churches viewpoint was very much that there was a devil and the devil was real and the devil had the ability to possess the minds of men and women. And the kings and queens wanted to have a belief. They wanted to have a church or a Christianity or a Catholic or Protestant, whatever it was, with them. The king feared the priests and the religions, and the religion feared the kings and the queens. Both people wanted to have dictatorship and power, so both of them came together to rule. But who couldn't rule anymore was women, especially because they were not going to let women own land. And so when capitalism comes into place and we start building fences and we start saying, okay, this person owns this land and this person owns this land, they feared these healers and these people who were really the people that the villages went to. I mean, you went to them for help with birthing a child. You went to them for charms in order to be able to save your herd. And it was also a period in time when there were famines, there were illnesses, there were natural disasters, there were crops that were not coming in the same way. And the kings and the queens and the religions wanted somebody to blame. They need someone to blame for why the crops are not turning out this way and why the energy of the world has shifted. Now, in my opinion, the energy of the world shifted because of capitalism, because we started getting into our egos and thinking that we were able to own the land, which nobody can own the land. The land is for all of us. So fast forward to a time, there is a book written. The book is called, there's two books actually. One is called The Hammer of Witches, or sort of coined as The Hammer of Witches. And then there's another book that's written by a king in England. Why did he write this book about witches and witch hunting and who witches were? Well, because he went with his fleet of ships to another country. I believe he was leaving England and going around the Isle to Scotland or to some other place not too far away. When he got there, his wife was ill. He went to go to the village and asked for them to bring him the local healer, shaman, sage, seer. That's what all of these people were called during that time. They were not bad words. They were not evil words. In fact, to be a sage or to be a mage or to be a healer, those were to be seen as good things. They bring the healer to his wife and he sits in front of her and she looks over his wife and she tells him what the wife needs to do to heal. And she gives him tonics and tinctures and herbs and things that she can do to heal or to cure herself, which, by the way, she did cure her. Anyway, during that period of time, the king was very abrasive and rude. And remember, the villagers are just starting to get accepting of the kings and the queens and the religion. This is something new. These are pagans who have had their own way of thinking, their own way of doing things. And to have a doctrine like a new religion, as such as Christianity or Protestant or Catholicism, that's still not right. Catholic people, the pagans are not used to that. They have allowed the energy of the universe, gods and goddesses, and their beliefs, which often many of them come from being in Roman times, and the things that they believe and that they enjoy, which, by the way, side note, Christianity and the other religions have taken a lot of the pagan beliefs because they wouldn't exist without them. But the point is that the healer felt that the king was rude to her. And she felt like she didn't deserve that. She said to him, "This karma will come back to you. Like, how you're treating me is coming back to you. It wasn't a spell. It wasn't a evilness or a darkness that she had put on him. It was just her simply saying, what you've done to me is going to come back to you." Well, guess what? It did. When he went to go travel back home across the seas, the winds for the first time had turned. And as the winds had turned, he lost many, many men and many ships in his fleet. When he got back to England, he was convinced himself that this woman had cursed him. How dare she? She had cursed him. She had put a curse on them and on his wife, even though his wife was healed, by the way. And so instead of seeing like, okay, I shouldn't have been rude to that woman, what he did is he coined the woman as a witch, and he said that that woman had, put evil and death out to him. He wrote a book that told people across the land how they could find and identify these women and that they should kill them. He acknowledged that these women would typically be over 40. He said that these women would have hair coming out of their chin. He said that they would have moles or age marks on their face. He talked about them having very broken and ugly teeth. Just think about it. There was no dental care back in the day. And so anyone that probably did live over the age of 40 did look like that as a woman. She's in menopause. She doesn't have anything to help her in her menopause. She probably is growing hair out of her chin. All of the things that wives, mothers, and homemakers in these medieval times were looking like and feeling like were really cast upon them and put upon them as being witches, especially if they were healers, especially if they were coined as seers. So there you have it. You have them, those people who made a living. I want you to remember, these were often considered spinners, seamstresses, brewers, midwives, healers, fortune tellers, innkeepers, launderers, domestic servants, and wet nurses. They were women who were using their gifts to be able to feed their families. And when I say feed their families, they may have been getting a dozen eggs in a basket if they were lucky for going over and providing a healing for someone. So they're not filthy rich people. They're common people. And common people who are using their healing rituals to help people, using amulets and potions containing herbs and other ingredients, and may have been performing divination, but they were using it to help other people. When people started to fear this, everyone started to turn. And collectively, the things that these books said put all of these women collectively under the same shadow. And so women had to hide, and the men that loved them and that supported them had to hide. Everyone was in a place of it being forbidden for them to enjoy social freedoms. Around this time, we start to see capitalism. We start to see men begin to populate the workforce and women no longer being able to work or to use their services. We start to see men expecting women to become very subservient to them. We start to see this mistrust and this disdain for women in local communities as being evil and as being dark. We start to see it becoming a very fearful time. We start to see it becoming a time when there were many witch trials. We start to see it becoming a time when people were accusing anyone of being a witch, and you knew that you could be prosecuted just by the threat of it. We started to see mass killings. And in and around this time, at the same time, there was a lot of mass killings in Germany with the Jews as well and with Jewish people. So you really started to be identified. And in fact, this is around the time that the Jewish people, they made them wear a cone-shaped hat with a circular brim because it would be easier for Christians to identify Jewish people. Right around the time when they started to talk about the witch's mark and her having a mole. Listen, how many of us have moles? Of course, this witch's mark was nonsense, but it was convenient to people that they wanted to really identify as a witch. Europe became an ideal environment, and really it spread everywhere to the entire world of a witch hunt. Misogyny, patriarchy, religious tyranny, scapegoating, land disputes, the rise of capitalism really shifted the views about magic and about shamanism and about healing. It became this political propaganda, and it really established a history of persecution and violence. That history is something that really sets up for the witch wound that you have today. It really sets us up to be in a place where there's so much fear and there's so much hurt and there's so much anger and there's so much pain. You can't have lived through this, anyone at that time, whether you were the aggressor or whether you were the witch being accused or whether you were a family member. You cannot live through this time and there not be some sense of fear or wound that is taken with you. So we have horrible things happening. We have women being interrogated, being stripped, Women were shaved of all their body hair. They were searched entirely for witches' marks. Usually this was done, by the way, in front of a crowd, and it was believed that the marks would be visible or they could be invisible, which was great because then the witch hunter could just make it up. They could be moles, they could be warts, they could be birthmarks, scars, or skin tags or wounds. Imagine just having that on you and being called a witch and being put to death because of it, because you're unable to prove yourself. And remember, these are not rich people. These are not people who would have been seen as having a threat because of money. They were people who were seen as a threat because they used their intuition and that they had knowledge. Knowledge. That's scary. So being a woman during this time was dangerous, and speaking out against injustice was dangerous, and questioning the authority of those in power was dangerous, and trusting your friends and neighbors was dangerous, and believing in pagan superstitions was dangerous. And remember, those pagan superstitions or the beliefs, those are the things they've always had. Being different was dangerous. So you kept yourself, you kept quiet, you kept your head down, and you kept out of the way. And that was the best thing during that time, during this witch craze, that you could be doing. There have been entire books that have been dedicated to understanding this dark time in history. And it was a dark time in history. It really, truly was. When you're killing hundreds or more thousands of people, when you're not documenting anything that's happening, and it's just running a rampant of complete chaos, that is something, whether you like it or not, no matter where your ancestors were in the world, that they would be affected by. A time when neighbor turned upon neighbor, when siblings turned on siblings, when children turned on parents. A time when it was dangerous to be too poor or too wealthy, too unattractive or too beautiful, too anonymous or too celebrated. A time when practicing folk healing or offending the wrong person or simply being in the wrong place at the wrong time could lead you to be imprisoned, tortured, and ultimately death. That is our history. And that is why you are here today. Because you know, something in you knows that there is something wrong on a cellular, ancestral, past life level that has caused a lot of the issues that you're having in your life right now. And we're going to talk about them in lesson 2. I look forward to chatting with you then.